This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 29th, episode 1462, brought to us by our auditors, listeners like you. Thank you. Good morning, horse world.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
It is Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us. Jamie, Forbes just came out with the list of the world's highest paid athletes.
And am I on it?
It's the top 100. Where do you think an equestrian falls?
Oh, not even there.
Correct. Nobody on the list. No equestrians. I looked through the list to see if I could find anybody that had anything to do with horses, but I cannot find anything. I was surprised, though. The top five, we have a basketball player, Kevin Durant, from the United States, $56 million. We have Roger Federer, a tennis player. Roger, of course, $60 million.
He's not from here, Glenn. No. He's Switzerland.
No. I'm telling you that this is the total. This is everybody, not just the United States. Roger Federer, tennis, $67 million. $7.8 million from winnings. He gets $60 million in endorsements.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
LeBron, he's beautiful.
LeBron, number three, of course. We all know who he is after last week. $77 million, $23 million from salary, $54 million from probably basketball shoes. And then... What sport do you think is in the top two? This is worldwide.
Well, you know what? I mean, I know this because it's been on my TV for the past couple weeks, and it's got to be it's soccer, football.
Yeah, that's right. How does your husband watch football?
Oh, Glenn, I want all you ladies to do yourself a favor right now.
Is he the only man in America that watches soccer?
No, his brother watches it. Oh. So, but him and his brother have lived overseas, and they get, and you know, when you travel the world, you get involved in local stuff. I mean, they like rugby. You know, he'll watch any sports, let's be honest. But I want all you ladies to do yourself a favor, and I want you to Google the number one highest paid athlete earning $88 million last year. Cristiano Ronaldo. Actually, this is for 2016. So we're like looking at 6 months is $88 million. I want you to just Google Cristiano Ronaldo, R-O-N-A-L-D-O. Google image that guy. You'll be thankful you did because.
I just did. That's just not fair. That he makes that
God.
Kind of money and looks like that. That's just not fair.
Well, $56 million is his salary. He's amazing at soccer for Portugal. I've been to Portugal and I don't remember any man looking like this guy. Okay. $32 million comes from endorsements. He is a Calvin Klein model. He is the most beautiful man on the planet. Chad will be watching and he's like, I'm like, you're watching soccer again. He's like, your boyfriend is on this team. And I'm like, oh, Ronaldo. Okay. I'll watch. Like, well, I'll pause it. Just pause it and be like, there he is. And he's like, just hit play. Come on. I'll be like, your boyfriend just scored. I'm like, here, I'm coming. Because then they're going to do the slow-mo replay of like, oh, God, he's so beautiful. Sorry. See, you didn't think we were going to go here, did you?
I did not think we were going to go here. I was just mentioning the fact that there were no horse people on the list.
I can't Google Ronaldo because I'll get nothing done.
No, you won't. I'm actually quite shocked, and it really is unfair to the rest of the male population that he makes that kind of money and looks like that.
It's just not fair.
It's not fair, no.
I think he's single, too. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Now you'll get nothing done. You're welcome.
Not fair. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Crappy List Wednesday edition, it's all about Olympics and eventing, as we are joined by Lauren Billies, individual competitor for Puerto Rico, and the big kahuna from the United States United States Eventing Association, Rob Burke, stops by to bring us up to speed on a program designed to help future eventing Olympians. And the velvet voice of Horse and Country DV Victoria Spicer may or may not have the happy ending to the long and dramatic story of Olympic dressage phenom, the equine Utopia. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Well, my daily witty goes out to Mary Hannah. Does that name ring a bell at all, Jamie? Mary Hannah?
Mary Hannah. It's familiar.
Well, it should be a little familiar, but she kind of flies under the radar, I think, and that's why I'm giving her my daily whinny today. She's going to be heading off to her fifth straight Olympics. She's a dressage rider out of Australia, and she has two horses qualified, Umbro and Boogie Woogie. Now, I got to tell you that as dressage horses name that are going to the Olympics, Boogie Woogie gets my vote.
You know, I've actually heard of Umbro, so that's funny. Of course, you always know the horses more than the riders, Glenn.
Right, and that's why I'm voting for Boogie Woogie. I think Boogie Woogie should go to the Olympics just to hear those serious announcers at the Olympics say Boogie Woogie 50 times.
And now, entering the arena, Boogie Woogie. That's funny. See, that's good.
It is good. I think that's the best name yet. I don't know if Boogie's going to make the Olympics, but I'm voting. You know, Mary Hannah, as I said, this is going to be her fifth Olympics. She's had a tough ride along the way. She rode, you know, when she was a kid. She came up through Pony Club. She went, actually was in show jumping and eventing before she switched to dressage. And she's married to a Danish rider right now. But her whole family's farm was destroyed in the brush fires in Australia in 1983. And then she lost her husband in a car accident. So she, you know, she hasn't had it easy along the way, but she's kept fighting back. And she's been in four Olympics. She competed in Atlanta, Athens, Sydney, and London. And she was the Australian flag bearer at the opening ceremony in France at the World Equestrian Games. So I think you'll be hearing a little bit more about Mary as the Olympics happen this year. Well, if they happen this year. When they happen this year. They'll happen. They're going to happen.
It'll happen. Daily Winnie to this chick named Meredith and her horse Apollo. Okay, so Meredith is a big believer in right. She's gonna do a ride to benefit domestic violence awareness. Okay, Meredith Cherry and her horse Apollo have decided that they are going to ride in every state and go to every state capital. She is looking for hosts, so I will post the link to this, but she is going to start on October 1st in Grass Valley, California, go through Sacramento, then go through Oregon, Washington, Montana, Idaho, Utah, Colorado, Wyoming. She has this whole thing mapped out, and she plans to ride for the next 4 years. She plans to finish in Carson City, Nevada on June in 2020. She's got this thing mapped out. She's planning this epic ride. She's got a GoFundMe, and she's going to do it on this little cutie patootie named Apollo. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, that's all. He's gated. So she's going to have it'll be a little more comfortable. But can you imagine doing this? We can actually contact. I've got her contact information for an interview. I think it'd be interesting. She wants to ride to every state capital. This is a very big ride.
That's a lot of miles.
Is she
That's
going to ride from capital to capital, or is she trailering to the capitals and riding into the capitals? Doing that?
I think she's riding the whole thing.
Because
she's not just like driving and then like getting out and being like, hey, we're here to Capitol. Okay, load the horse back up. I'm gonna drive to the next one. No, I think he's riding.
Because I'm picturing 50 more stories like the one that enveloped the news the last 2 days. Aren't you now? If she's got to go into the cities.
I know, right? Well, she plans to ride through, like, she's going Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, up through Virginia, and then New Jersey, New York, New Hampshire, Maine, Vermont, then around to, I guess that's where she goes to New York, and then Pennsylvania, then down to West Virginia. Oh my gosh, my brain hurts even thinking about it.
No, my butt hurts just thinking about it, actually.
Good point. But she wants to devote 4 years of her life because she feels so passionate about horses and her cause. That now we're talking about domestic violence awareness. So, way to go, girl. There amazing. You go. Well, we'll see. But, you know, I mean, I'm always like, we'll see how far she'll make it. We'll see how much she adheres to the schedule. Because this schedule seems like very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Ambitious?
Ambitious. Thank you. Very ambitious.
Well, like I will tell you that speaking of ambitious, Lainey Ashker's mom still plugging away.
Really?
Yeah, she's
where still, is she now?
I'm trying to see where she is right now. I think she made it through Nevada. I think she's through Nevada. She posted a couple pictures on her Facebook page this morning of a pretty sunrise, but it still looks very deserty. So she made it through Nevada, and you can find more details at Second Make Through Starting Gates. So she's still riding. She's looking kind of haggard, but she's still riding. She's
Second. I'm going to have to say goodbye to Ronaldo and Google Second Make.
Yeah, through Starting Gates, and you can see what she's up to. But this story about this guy in New York crossing the bridge and skipping the toll, his name's Todd Mishler.
Is that why he got ticketed? Okay, tell the story, well, because I couldn't find a great thorough article.
If you remember right, we've talked about this guy before. He's 80 years old. He's riding cross country to make a... He's trying to create awareness for poverty. And, you know, at least this story got him some publicity, that's for sure. Probably the most he's had ever. So he, I'm just checking on one thing here. He's riding cross country. He decided to cross this bridge, the Outerboro Bridge, Outerboro Bridge, and it crosses from New Jersey to Staten Island.
Not New York.
It's a toll bridge, right? So he thought, well, I don't have to pay a toll. I'm riding a horse. So he skips the toll, rides around the toll booth. Toll booth people call the police. And by the way, he's tying up traffic because he's riding on this bridge has one of those sidewalks along the edge of it, and he's riding on the sidewalk, but rubberneckers are just tying because they don't usually see horses on the Outerboro Bridge into Staten Island. So he's tying up traffic for miles in both directions. Police finally show up, and they said, this is his quote, this is Mishler's quote, "You haven't had horses around here in a long time, so they didn't know what to do." So the police gave him a ticket for skipping the toll, cited him for impeding traffic and trespassing, and sent him on his way. And he said the officers told him, "Right on, cowboy." Apparently, it's not a law that he can't, but they gave ticketed him anyway for impeding traffic because that's what New Jersey and New York cops would do. He doesn't.
And yet, that jerk face can stop traffic as a politician. To you know what I'm talking about, Chris Christie.
Oh yes,
governor of New Jersey. He stops traffic, and he didn't get a ticket. He got a presidential bid.
Yeah. this guy doesn't own a car, hasn't had a driver's license in a very long time, and he's basically ridden his horses across the country. I think this is the end of the trip for him, and it was to raise awareness about childhood hunger. They said, did he pay the toll then? He said, nope, they never asked me to. So apparently he's still...
Well, they wrote him a ticket, so it's like double dipping at that point.
What do you think the chances of him paying that ticket are, by the way?
Listen, if I could afford it, I'd pay it for him. You ride on, cowboy.
Yeah, anybody who wants to ride their horses into Staten Island deserves to just ride on.
The first news story that I saw was, I thought it was hilarious. It was a news story about a guy in a cowboy costume on horses riding down this bridge. I'm like, okay, it's probably not a costume. He's probably actually just riding. But it made it sound like it was this, like, some guy dressing up in as hilarious cowboy riding a horse. Like, nobody's ever seen that before. Obviously, it's a costume or a stunt. No, it's just a cowboy.
Yep.
Riding on down the road.
Getting on the road, heading to wherever. I don't know where he's going to end up. Maybe the tip of Long Island. I don't know where he's going to end up at all. But
it's fantastic.
Yep. So that's it. And, oh, I did have a listener question ask about your horse, whether we're going to talk about the horse that ended up in the hospital Monday. Yes, we are going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. Because Jamie has stories to tell today.
Oh, what a mess.
But we're going to be getting to some guests here shortly too. So we didn't want to shortchange Jamie telling the story. Let's put it that way.
It's not that big a deal.
I don't know, when a horse is laid out and you know, under anesthesia, it looks dramatic, doesn't
okay,
it?
That was a big deal. Yeah,
that looks dramatic. I want to ask exactly how they do that, because I just picture that going badly. But
well, until we get Lauren on, just to tell you, I went to the horse hospital with a horse, and it's amazing. This place had a closed circuit television, because I was like, is there a window that we can stand up and like look through the surgery at? And she was like, well, we don't have a window, but we have this room that's got a closed circuit TV. We get in there, there's like plush couches, there's a coffee maker, like one of those Keurigs, there's snacks. We're all like sitting in this room eating popcorn, watching a surgery. It was amazing. So we'll tell you about that coming up.
Just like in Grey's Anatomy.
It was weird. Actually, the girl said that because the it was arthroscopic, so they had to use cameras. And I told the girl, I'm like, you're not going to see much. She's 14. I'm like, you're not going to see much because they're doing it arthroscopic with, like, you know, a camera. And she was like, oh, like Grey's Anatomy. Got it. And at one point when they were stitching him up, I'm like, can you? I wonder if there's like a button I can push and go, can you move that light? I can't see.
Can you get in closer, please?
Just scoot over a little to the left.
That's funny. Well, we'll talk more about that later in the show. I did want to mention that the ASPCA has given out their, you know, they do, we talk about this every year. They give out big awards, and it's called the Help a Horse Day Contest. They give out big awards for rescues and things like that to help horses. And it's a kind of a nationwide grant competition. And the grant winner, the big winner, receives $25,000. And then there's $10,000 winners and $5,000 winners. And I want to congratulate Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary in your home state of in Green Valley, Arizona, has taken the $25,000 grand prize. Have you heard of them at all?
What's it called?
Equine
where is it?
Voices Rescue and Sanctuary in Green Valley, Arizona.
I don't even know where Green Valley, Arizona is. I'm Googling that.
There were some other the $10,000 winners, all about equine animal rescue in California, Begin Again Horse Rescue in New York, California Coastal Horse Rescue in California, Hidden Acres Thoroughbred Rescue in Cocoa, Florida. That's got to be a pretty place, Cocoa, Florida. And the Pegasus Project in Texas. So congratulations to all of them. They actually were $10,000 winners.
Okay, so the people in Green Valley need the money because they're just north of the Mexico border and it's hot and they're going to need, I don't know,
lots
some
of
fans.
Food and water.
Misting coolers and I don't know.
Well, for $25,000, let's hope that helps out. And thanks to the ASPCA for doing that every year. California was very well represented on this list this year. They had five of them out of California. I see Freedom Hill Horse Rescue in Maryland is on here. I know who they are. They were a $5,000 winner. So congratulations to all of them. Any kind of money like that certainly helps when you're a rescue.
Absolutely, it does. Well, do we have Lauren on the...
Not quite yet. Jennifer's working on it.
She's got her.
She's got her. We're just we're waiting for her to arrive. Why don't you tell us a little bit about her, and she should be ready then.
All right. Well, Lauren, we'll let Lauren tell you a little bit about her, but she's a California eventer who kind of gave it all up to move and train with Bea and Derek DeGrazia full time to try to go to the Olympics and the Pan Am Games. And she's riding for Puerto Rico. But you say she's from Northern California. Yeah, because her grandmother was born in Puerto Rico. And I don't really know how all that works. But I guess if you have a certain generation out from a country, you are able to join that country team. So I think it's been really difficult and really frustrating and hard. And it's like, you know, being in the Olympics is just not easy. So we are really thrilled to have her on to tell her story. Lauren Billies, and I've actually seen her at competitions out in California, and just a very impressive rider and horse team. And we welcome you to the show. Hey, Lauren.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on and talking about it. Well, I want to start out. We were just talking a little bit about how you became a Puerto Rican eventer, a Puerto Rican team member. Your grandmother was born there, right?
Yeah. So my grandmother is one of nine kids that was born in Bayamon, Puerto Rico. And they have a plantation there that they ran, and now it's become a rum factory, so a lot of her family still lives there. And it was because of her that I was afforded the opportunity to be Puerto Rican, ride for the Puerto Rican team.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about your horse. Tell us a lot about your horse. I want to know everything.
Yeah, he's so awesome. Purdy is his barn name, and we received Purdy about 2 years ago in June of 2014. So I'm like 5'3", and he is like 17 hands plus. So it is like, I feel like I've got my first pony, you know, like I'm this little girl on this course, you know? And he's so wonderful. So it's kind of an interesting story. When I got pretty, I wasn't really actually looking. And this woman that was in the riding community, Vicky Koss, knew that I needed another upper level horse to try and pursue my dreams. So she was kind of putting horses in my path, and I couldn't really afford to buy one. So sure enough, somebody called me and told me Purdy was for sale, and they heard I was looking. And so she was kind of helping me, you know, connect the dots. And so I thought, well, what the heck, I'll go sit on him. And I loved him. And I called my family and some people that were interested in potentially being owners, and these my family members and these people got together and created a syndicate on the spot for me to get this horse.
Oh, wow.
So he's just kind of a horse that's come from a lot of people that I love. And he's a wicked cross country horse. He squeals when he leaves the box, and he's like, loves the jumps, you know? And he's just a great partner. And I think that's attributed to the fact that, you know, it's shown in the fact that he's so big and I'm so small, and he still chooses to listen to me and I ride him in a snaffle, you know? Wow. He's just such a pleasure, and he's a really wonderful horse to have.
Well, his name is Castle Larchfield Purdy. What is his breeding? What is he?
So he's an Irish sport horse. He's mostly Saint-Francais, but he has some Quedam de Ravel bloodlines in him from his sire's side, which is Caristos. But the Castle comes from Emma Castle, who sourced him as a four-year-old in England. And she actually most recently reached out to me. And she has a riding business, and now I think her daughter runs it. But they sourced him as a four-year-old out of a field, and then she started him. So that's where the Castle comes from. The large field, I'm not quite so sure.
It's just because somebody thought that was a pretty name.
Yeah.
And then the last name is Purdy, and that's his barn name. I would just say, oh, you're so Purdy, with like a Southern accent all the time.
I think that's a good idea. I should probably start doing that. I just call him Baby Dinosaur most of the day.
Yeah, his size and your size. I'm 5'3", too, girlfriend. I get it. Like, I realize how difficult it is to sit on a 17-plus hand horse. So this is just amazing. So tell us what you've done with him in the past.
So when I received him, when we purchased him, he had done the Blenheim CCI 3-star once. And he did some 2-stars and 3-stars in Europe and had a bit of time in between that and when I got him. So when I got him, I ran 2-stars in 2014. And then in 2015, basically in March, was my qualifying period. And so last year was a little bit of a crazy year. I moved him up to advanced, and then I started my qualification. And I did the Galway CIC 3-star, the Jersey Fresh CCI 3-star, the Pan Am's 2-star, Copper Meadows CIC 3-star, Woodside CIC 3-star, and the Golly Down CCI 3-star. So he had a jam-packed wow. year last year.
Wow. That is a lot of stars.
It's a lot of stars. So basically, he didn't do any horse trials last year. We did mostly all FEIs. And so this year, he's had a very light year. We gave him a lot of time off. And he's done, I think, three shows this year so far. Mm-hmm. So he's had a very light year. And now we're gearing up and getting ready to go to Great Meadows.
Oh, fantastic. It seems like everybody's mm-hmm. going to go to Great Meadows to get everything, their last run in. Now, tell us a little bit, because apparently in South America, female riders are not represented very well.
Yeah, so it's kind of been an interesting road that way. Like in 2011, when I went to my first Pan American Games, I showed up with my horse and 9 bags of luggage, and I didn't speak Spanish to the barn. And it was kind of insane. And we were in Guadalajara, Mexico. And so I was one of only, I think it was 6 women out of 65 riders, and I was the youngest female. So it was just like a total swap in gender roles, you know, when you ride in California. But I was like competing against old cavalry members from different countries, which was very interesting to me, kind of this like play between us who ride it as a sport and then people who use it for utilitarian purpose, you know, just that juxtaposition of being there and then just being one of the only women, which was really interesting. And when I went to the Pan Ams again in 2007, it was the same, or 2011, 2014, so it'd be last year. Same thing, you know, but I really was welcomed with open arms by all these guys. They adopted me into their family, and we had a lot of funny stories that I was
teach you
kind
Spanish?
Of like their younger sister.
Starting Sorry? To teach you Spanish?
Yeah, trying to teach me Spanish, driving me around Mexico.
Did you learn every Spanish swear word?
Close, not all. They tried to take care of me, kind of. You know, they put me in dicey enough situations that I needed them, but not too scary.
That's good. So these guys, it's got to be definitely different because, you know, especially in California, but all over, chicks rule the horse world in the U.S. And now you're basically thrust into, you're almost like what the guys must experience. So were you checking everybody mm-hmm. out? Are you a single girl? Like, were there hot guys? You're in South America, girl. They're delicious.
They are very forward, for sure. but they are pretty, they're really fun. You know what I mean? Like, between going to the 2011 and the 2014 games, getting to know them, I mean, from 4 years, you would think like maybe they wouldn't remember me, but it's like I saw them the day before, you know? So, like I'm friends with a lot of the guys in the Brazilian team and, the Ecuadorian riders. So it will be great to go back and see them. They're really fun. They're very flirtatious. They all like have different names for you and it's funny, but they're fun and we have a great time, but it will be really exciting to be one of the only female riders. Well, the only female rider from South America. So I'm stoked to do that.
Now, I do have a question. Obviously, Puerto Rico is a, what's its technical term of the United States?
It's a Commonwealth.
So they don't compete with the United States. They've always had their own separate team. I always wondered about that.
Yeah. So actually, which is very interesting in this whole process, figuring out how to go to the Olympics. Puerto Rico is recognized, so they separate the world into different sections to qualify to go to the games. And Puerto Rico is not in the North American territory for that qualification process. And they put all the Latin American countries in the South American category. So like Jamaica is a North American country or North American, you know, territory, and Puerto Rico is South American. So even though we're connected to the United States, we're not necessarily placed in the same qualification. I think that has to do with Latin American descent. All of these Commonwealth and small countries like Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica, Cuba, Puerto Rico, we all have our own teams. that go to the Olympics.
Got it. Okay.
But you're an individual representing, so there's not a Puerto Rican team in the Olympics this year?
No, my team is made up of cyclists and runners and all the different disciplines that are competing at the Olympics. But in order for me to get to go, I was one of the top three ranked individual riders in the Western Hemisphere of the world to go. So that's how I got in, instead of going in through a team, traditional team qualification.
Not bad, sister. That's unbelievably impressive.
It was pretty scary all the way to the end.
Now, you're hearing everything, and we're going to be talking, actually, a little later in the show. We're going to have Rob Burke on, who's the USEA CEO. And we've had, we've been covering the lead up to the Olympics and all the various stories about, and all the nightmare stories and all that stuff. Are you concerned at all about going in any which way?
I am just concerned about the logistics of the organization, like in a sense, but I'm not as concerned as probably everybody else is. I've had a lot of really great people helping me out. Joni Morris has been a huge help and a great source of knowledge, and she's got my back.
Wow, and there's nobody that knows how to travel with horses better than her. So.
Yeah, exactly. And Max Cochran is my groom. And so,
okay, well, of course, Max hosts the Eventing Radio show here on the network. And if you're going to have a groom, you might as well have the best in the world there, Lauren.
Yeah, so I feel like I have a really wonderful team. And so because of that, the Puerto Rican Olympic Committee, of course, has been so helpful. So for all those reasons, I feel like, it's going to be all right.
Lauren, you have 400 South American men behind your back, so you're good, girl. You're gonna be fine.
Yeah, we'll be a good looking team, all of us together.
You're gonna be just fine. Even at the other ones from the other countries, they know you. You're their little sister now, so they got your back.
Yeah, I hope so. I'll be better. We'll see what happens when I get there.
Very cool. Well, congratulations to you. Congratulations to Purdy and the whole syndicate and the team. It sounds like so many people came together. Real quick, tell me how excited your grandma is for you.
Oh, yeah, thrilled. I mean, she was there at the Pan Ams at both of them, and, come in from dressage and she's crying, and she just loves it. She loves every bit of this dream, and I think that it was her dream before it was realized, and so she's, thrilled. She's over the moon about all of it. And I'm so thankful I get to share this with her. And she's in her 80s, so this will be a huge milestone in her life. And I'm so thankful that I get that opportunity because of her.
Let me just get this straight. So she is a 80-year-old woman from Puerto Rico who is watching her granddaughter compete in the Olympic Games representing her country. I can't even imagine how she's not crying all the time.
Yeah. And like last year I was very honored to receive the best Puerto Rican female athlete by the Olympic Committee for the country of Puerto Rico. And so it was a really great moment because I was able to go down there and share that with her and with my family that lives there, and they could come and share in the ceremony as well. And I think that each part of the journey, it's like not all for me, it's for all these people, and it's like she's part of that. And so I'm so thankful that she gets to, be a huge part of this journey, and she's loving it. So I'm excited for her.
I can't even imagine the pride. And I mean, aside from the fact that you are representing women and South American countries and letting them know that they can make it to the Olympics too. You're representing all of these Puerto Ricans and you're representing your family and now California and the DeGrazis and the whole team. I just think it's absolutely awesome. I'm so proud of you. It's just awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, we're going to be cheering you on. Do you have a website, Lauren?
I do, laurenbillies.com, and then it's very easy. I have an Instagram at laurenbillies and a Facebook, Lauren Billies Eventing.
Well, we're going to be looking for the pictures of you and all those hot guys down there, right?
Yeah, I'll work on that for you.
All right.
Help us out.
Thanks, Lauren.
Help you out. Okay, thanks, guys.
Bye.
How cool is that? That is really cool. What a neat story.
That's just, it gives me goosebumps, you know, with as somebody who my childhood dreams were to ride in the Olympics, you know, just to see somebody making it happen, making their dreams come true is just so inspiring.
You got time yet?
Well, you gave me 4 years to get to Rolex in the Mustang.
Hurry up. Jeez, you're behind schedule already. Chop, girl.
Sorry,
and now we've had to change Mustangs. The one I gave you 4 years on is not a jumper. So we're going to be going a different route.
Bless his little heart. He just tries.
Do I have to extend another 4 years every time we change horses here?
If I'm going to get to the Olympics on a Mustang or Rolex on a Mustang, it'll be this little 15 one-hand nightmare that is to manage, which is Zeus. Oh,
God of Thunder. Let's take a break for our sponsor. We'll be back. We have another guest coming up shortly.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire. Affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
And of course, you can find Ovation on Facebook also. Just search for Ovation Riding. They're always having all kinds of good posts over there, things going on, and they have a lot of terrific riders that use their products, and you can learn more about them at Ovation Riding on Facebook. Well, Jamie, after the show on Monday, you talked about how Thor got out of his, or was it Thor or Zeus that caused all the trouble?
It was Zeus.
Zeus, yes. The playful one decided to open the gate and go into the other horses' fields. And you said you woke up and there were four horses in the field where there should only be two. And you went out and dealt with the situation. And everything seemed okay at the end of the show. And then
I got them all in before the show started. And then when I went out after the show is when I kind of took a closer look.
And what did you find?
Well, I got two that were missing shoes. One with
they had a party.
Oh my gosh. My pasture is destroyed because they were running so much and like slamming on the brakes. There's like skid marks everywhere and they were spinning and jumping and bucking. And at some point, it's like these horses are all in stalls next to each other, but they've never been out with each other. And apparently that's some huge party that they have to have. And the party ended up with a laceration on the hock joint of my student's brand new horse, the one she got a couple weeks ago. His name is Rio. He's a big old 16-2 plus hand, plain dark bay thoroughbred who's just a total sweetheart. And so, you know, I look at the wound and I like, you know, I'm fairly confident in treating things myself with my years of vet tech and all that. I took one look at it, I go, oh boy, we got to call the vet. So I call the owners, like, we got to call the vet. They're like, okay, I call the vet. The vet comes out here. Oh boy, you need to get to the hospital.
Oh boy.
So it looked like this is, you know, when you, Jennifer, you probably do the same thing. When you see a wound, the first thing you do is stick your finger in it to see how deep it goes.
Right? Gotta investigate.
That's the first thing you guys do. That's where I still maintain my, you know, people bust on me all the time and say, you can't be a horse husband anymore because you own a horse. Yeah, but I don't do blood. I don't do, that's what keeps me a horse husband is I do not stick my finger in wounds. I call my wife who comes and sticks her finger in wounds. That's the difference between a horse husband and a horse person. Just clarifying.
Right.
Go ahead.
You're right. Yep. You're right. So what I do, and I bring my horse up, and what your wife does is we see a wound and we go, let's see how deep it is. And you stick your finger in it. And I was like, oh, that's bone. I feel
that's not good. I know that's not good. See, I know enough to know that's not good.
And so he wasn't lame at all. He just really did not like me sticking my finger in it and his hock joint. And I just thought, oh my gosh, I think this goes to the joint. This is bad, it's bad, it's bad. So we put him in the trailer. You know, the vet comes out. She's like, this is bad. We put him in the trailer. We take him to the clinic. They're like, this is bad. So they lay him down. And what happens when you get a wound over a joint is what you don't want is for that wound to go into the joint capsule. Because inside this joint capsule, think of it as like you look at the horses or look at your wrist. Inside your skin is like think of like a balloon full of fluid that is keeping that joint lubricated. Looking at horses, fetlock, hock, any of those things have a joint capsule. And if that joint capsule, that balloon is popped or perforated, all that joint fluid leaks out and bacteria gets into the joint. And when that bacteria gets into the joint, it can become what's called a septic joint, which it can kill a horse eventually if it's not treated aggressively. So I see this cut and I'm like, oh my God. Oh God. Okay, we got to get him in. So we take the horse to the hospital. They are like, oh my gosh, joint capsule. Turns out they don't think when they laid him down and scrubbed it, it was going to need, you know, stitches. It was so deep. They don't think it went into the joint capsule, which is unbelievable. I said they don't think. They didn't go into the joint capsule. So they laid him down, stitched it up. They figured out it didn't go in. It popped that balloon. And they stitched it all back up. And I'm sure that currently right now he's very happy to be standing in an air conditioned barn, but I'm sure he's got a wrap from stifle to toe, you know, all the way down. So poor thing, you know, it's clients like this though. And people like this, you know, they've had this horse like 2 or 3 weeks, you know, the daughter is not whatever the vet says. Okay. We've got two things we can do. We can throw the kitchen sink at it, lay him down, go in there, do surgery, see what's going on, really, really, really aggressively treat this. Or we can kind of do a lot lesser treatment. We can flush it out. We can stitch it up and hope for the best. And, you know, one is going to be $2,500 and the other is $500. And they looked right at the owner, the mother of this teenager, and she goes, do it all. I'm like, ah, I love you. That's what we would do. You know, and they've had this horse for a couple weeks and they're like, do it all. Do it all. We want him fixed. So how awesome to have clients like that and people like that behind you, you know, when they weren't mad at me. You know, it was just a total.
I was just going to say, but they're sending you the bill. So
yeah, right. Well, it was a total accident. It's horses.
Hey, that stuff happens with horses.
Yeah. It wasn't negligence that led the horses to get out. You know, it was just an impossible gate to open. I don't know how he opened it. It's just impossible. I can't even imagine. And that's why that horse is such a nightmare to manage. He's the most, and Zeus is like, as awesome as he is to ride, he's a nightmare to manage. He's constant. Got to be doing something, constantly.
I don't know anything about that. Scooter is not that way at all.
Exactly.
I can relate. I get it.
I'm like, I got to get the gate open. His stall door has two chains wrapped around it because he figured out how to do the double D snaps. So I have to have the double D snaps. And then I got one of those carabiner things to go around to hold the other chain. And then it's welded a chain that goes across it. And he has his stall, but he has an attached paddock. And there's toys out there. There's all sorts of stuff constantly. I look outside. It is 110 degrees out there. Every other horse is standing face planted in front of their fan. And he's throwing the jolly ball around. Like, really? What is wrong with you? But that's why he's going to make a hell of a good event horse. Because he's very curious.
All right.
Nothing's
Let's do this. Let's go to our next guest. We talked a little bit of venting earlier, of course, with Lauren Billies, who's going to be riding for Puerto Rico at the Olympics. And we're so excited for her and especially for her grandma. And now we get the head of the USEA, United States Eventing Association, on with us. He's the CEO. Rob Burke is joining us right now. Hey, Rob, how are you this morning?
Great, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate it. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about the Intercollegiate Eventing Program. But before we got to do that, of course, it's Olympics time. We've been talking about it here on the show leading up to it, all kinds of stories coming out. Are you guys excited for the Olympics? Are you a little apprehensive, nervous? What's the story?
Oh, we're so excited. I have to say that in office, we kind of had I wouldn't say a pool, but we had our guesses as to who would end up on the team, and we got it right. So we're excited for the team. We think it's going to be a strong team, and hopefully we bring home a medal. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think your team is, I think it's a well-picked team this year, and a lot of, there's just so much potential there. And of course, you know, we're still competing. If the Germans, just if their plane would get lost on the way, maybe end up in China somewhere, you know, with a certain rider on it, that'd be great. But I don't think I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen at all. There was a video, too, that came out. There was this video that came out. Was it the New York Times video?
I remember, was this the Time Magazine?
Time magazine
with Boyd. Yeah.
Very funny. Very funny.
That was great.
Yeah, it was
that
well
was
done.
Really good. Yeah, it's always funny to see people on horses for the first time. And I love that the guy that they had, the reporter, you know, was doing eventing, and they were basically walking him over a pole on the ground. That was hilarious.
Yeah, so. it was funny. And of course,
Stephen Colbert.
Boyd's the perfect one to do those interviews with with mainstream media, because he's just the perfect one to do it. He really is.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
Well, Rob, we haven't had you on the show before, and this show is, we do the Eventing Radio show, of course, but this show is general audience, and they may not know you at all. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you an eventer coming up?
Yeah, so I grew up in the sport. Primarily, I grew up actually out in California competing and competed at, you know, against a lot of the folks that I see out here on the East Coast these days. I'm a little older than the likes of Maya Black and some others. But I remember seeing Lainey and Tammy back in the day as when they were younger kids competing out there. And then over time through college and graduate school, I made my way east and married a Marylander and ended up competing in Area 2 for a little while. So I am an eventer through and through. That being said, I sold my horses about 10 years ago. I have a now about to be 10-year-old kid, so I decided to invest in my children a little more than I was investing in my riding. But we're starting to get back into it. When you guys were talking earlier about your horses, our horse that we currently have is named Peeps, and he's on stall rest right now, and luckily hasn't figured out how to get out of his stall, because I think he's about ready to bust out of it. But so I'm an eventer, been my whole life, and got lucky enough to fall upon this job here with the USEA, and I'm loving every minute of it.
And
is your wife an eventer too?
Yeah, she is. She's actually a professor at the University of Maryland. She runs their equine science curriculum. Really, they get a lot of pre-vet students coming through it. So we met in graduate school at Virginia Tech, and I think we were both lucky that we showed up at the same place for graduate school, because we fell in love, and you know, it's been storybook ever since.
Very cool. Well, and you came into this role at a time when there's so much going on in eventing. They're talking about changing rules. You know, we've talked about that on the show here. You know, changing the name. I mean, you've come in at a time when a lot's happening in this sport.
Yeah, you know, it is. There's a lot of exciting things going on. You know, the sport is growing. We've got more starters this year than we've had in the past. You know, our membership is doing well. You know, there's a lot of interest. I can't say I ever really supported the idea of the name change. You know, there were some ridiculous ones floating around out there.
Equestra Triathlon. I wanted that one. It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it just does. Yep.
Equestrio, because that's... That's so much more descriptive than eventing. Or
Triquestrio Lathalon. Man, that rolls off the tongue.
You know, one of them, though, I joked around. So we used to be the U.S. CTA, U.S. Combined Training Association, and we had this logo that was pretty familiar to everybody back then. So I jokingly, at the last meeting, when Equestrian Triathlon was one of the proposals, I took the old logo and turned the C into an E. I just put a little extra bar there in the center so it looked like a euro, and took it to the meeting and said, "Hey, look, it's going to be easy. We'll just change it back to our old logo." So I don't know. I didn't get too many laughs for that one.
I think it's funny.
It is an exciting time. You know, there's a lot of new. Our Board of Governors and the USCF have been proposing a lot of things that are a little bit of a change, things like DX eventing. I don't know how much you guys have talked about that, but
I don't know that we have
version of eventing.
What?
Yeah, so it's one of the concepts out there is it's a lot like the Young Event Horse competition in that you combine show jumping and stadium into one section of the competition. And then have dressage. It's kind of an easier introduction for smaller competition sites so that they don't have to have a full cross-country track. But, you know, it's for kind of the purists who've been around for a while and like the old long format, it's a little bit of a stretch to think about changes like that. But I think there's room for everything for the future of the sport. So we're moving forward.
Probably when you started, it was long format.
Yeah, actually.
You're saying he's old, Glenn?
No, I was listening to him describing, and I thought, well, he would have started in long format.
I did. Yeah, the last competition I actually did, second to last competition I did, was long format at Morven Park in 2005. So,
see, people think that long format was 30 years ago. It wasn't. You know, we think about it now and you think like it was forever ago. It seems like a lifetime since we've seen long format. But that was early 2000s that change was made?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And we still run the classic series here in the U.S. We've got for novice and training, the 3-day the full long format competitions that are pretty popular, at least at the novice and training level. But we're a long way away now from the old CCI 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star long format. So,
well, let's talk about the intercollegiate eventing program. And we didn't know anything about this. And then the other day, somebody mentioned it on the show. We're like, well, we got to learn more about what that is. Because when you think of intercollegiate, you think of hunters, you think of Western, maybe some Western classes, but you don't usually think of eventing.
Yeah, and actually this program is really near and dear to my heart, partially because of that. So when I headed off to college, I left California and I went out to Ohio for undergrad. I went to a little school called Otterbein University out there. I competed on the IHSA team. I competed on the Western, IHSA team. Did pretty well, actually. It was a lot of fun at the time. Our school, pretty much if you showed up, you could compete on the team. So I decided, I'm going to wear a cowboy hat and act like a cowboy and go do reining and had a lot of fun with that. But we didn't really have any eventing options. And it was something that I missed a lot and a lot of my fellow eventers missed. So, at that time I said, wouldn't it be great to be able to establish that? And then when I came on board here with the USCA back in 2013, before taking over as the CEO, it was one of the programs that then CEO Joe Whitehouse said to me, if you have the effort and the time and the energy, go ahead, see if you can get it started. So I started working, and our then president, Brian Sabo, started working with a couple of kids at Clemson and UC Davis and got kind of the basic parameters around the program up and running. And now we just had our intercollegiate championship. It's running rampant. We're really excited.
I guess one of the biggest challenges is cross-country course, right, for the colleges. So do they work with local farms that actually have them? Is that how they're doing that?
Yeah, typically. It's the difference, you know, when we came into it, the success of the IHSA program and several others, IDA, hovered around keeping it low cost, you know, catch rides. But yeah, you know, when you think about it, you don't necessarily want to catch ride.
I was just
going to
ask that.
Country on it.
Yeah, exactly.
we had to go with a little bit of a different concept. And when we started to talk to the kids who were out there competing, what we decided was the best way to do it was incorporate it into our existing competitions. So we now have, I think we're up around almost a dozen team competitions now around the country. And those competitions take place at recognized events.
Okay.
And teams will show up and they'll either bring their own personal owned horses that they've competed at the local farm or with their regular trainer, and or in some cases there are schools that have, you know, a barn full of horses that kids are competing throughout the year.
Does it count towards, I know the big thing with the intercollegiate, of course, is the competition and who ends up the top university or college at the end of the year. Does this count towards their points for that?
So the way that we currently have it structured, in the future, we're probably going to go towards a year-end overall point winner. But the way it works right now is we have individual, in each division, individual standings. So anyone who registers with the USEA is an intercollegiate member, and all they have to do is show proof that they are a student at a college or university. Then they go and compete, and in doing so, they amass points, and those points go towards the year-end total. So we have, at this point, boy, we're several hundred students who are now registered with the USEA. They get a discount on their membership, you know, which is great for college kids, obviously. It keeps it down around what a junior would normally pay. And then their teams, they get named the year-end champion right now when they compete at the intercollegiate championship. So whichever team walks out of there, in this case, it was one of the University of Georgia teams. So this year, Georgia is our national champion.
Of course.
At the end of the...
Go Dogs.
Yeah.
They're always national champion.
Yeah. Go Dogs!
Yeah, you know, it's...
Jamie is from Atlanta, so there you go.
I don't have anything against the Georgia team, so...
Listen, you know what? Georgia would call you as a damn Yankee living up north like you do. So, you know, go Dogs. Sick. I was going to ask you because I just filled out I just re-signed up for my USEA membership. And one of the questions that pops up immediately is, are you a student? Are you in a part of it? And it was not something that I remember ever having seen when I'm re-upping my membership. So this answers a ton of questions. This is a really, really great. Oh my gosh, I'm going back to college. I want to do this.
I know, seriously. We now have we have 40 colleges and universities now signed up with the USEA. So those numbers to me are great. We're only about a year into the program. So it's just running wild.
That's fantastic. So when the Georgia Bulldogs, go Dogs, won the intercollegiate championship, what happens? Where do they go? Did that count for USEA? How is that tied in? Or is it just totally separate?
Yes. Yeah. So no, they are officially the USEA national championship team for 2016. That is official, and actually the USEF also endorsed them as well. So the USEF has jumped on board and recognized them as our national champions as well. And that's kind of the way we're going to do it moving forward.
So cool.
Clemson was our number two team, and we had 10 colleges and universities competing at the championship. So we know that next year it's only getting bigger, and we're excited.
Yeah, this is, you see, I had friends that rode in the intercollegiate teams. The school I went to didn't have them, but they all, my eventing friends always had to ride in the hunters or the jumpers, and they never really got this opportunity. So what you've done is just really opened up the sport for so many more people. That's so exciting.
Yeah, and for us too, it was a membership issue as well. I mean, we saw our member numbers decline dramatically once people hit 18 years old. So from 18 to 24, really, our member numbers would drop off precipitously. So it was another way to look at it and say, well, how can we keep people competing in the sport? How can we keep people from, you know, changing sports? So for us, hopefully we see a benefit to us in our membership numbers as we move forward into the future.
Well, Rob, we're going to look forward to seeing what happens with this program. And of course, we'll be keeping our eye on Rio, which is what, a little over a month away now. So not too long. You're going to be down there, I assume.
I am unfortunately not going to go down this time around, but I hope I will in the future. This, it wasn't in the budget for this year, but yeah, I'd love to go to Tokyo, no doubt.
Well, yeah, that you know, I think all of us are going, Tokyo, that sounds fun. So, well, Rob, thanks so much, and good job, good start here in your position as CEO of the USEA, and we appreciate you stopping by.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Well, very cool. I had not talked to him before. With Joe Whitehouse had been on the shows many, many, many times over the years, especially through the 2010 World Equestrian Games. And I talked to her many times, met her at shows many times, but I'd never met Rob. So it's good to hear from him. Sounds like he's doing some neat stuff over there.
But yeah, sounds great. Hey, I got to talk to you a little bit about the news story that is like so rampant and viral right now with the former trainer of Run Happy, the Maria Burrell thing.
Can we do it after our song?
Yes, I want to hear, but that's what I was hoping you were going to play. Which one? Are you going to play the one?
I am going to do. We haven't done this in forever. I think we've only done it once, actually. We've done it once. It's the parody of Adele's Hello that was done by I can't find her name. I have to look that up. But it was done by the British girl who did the parody of Hello out in her horse's field. And it was so well done. I thought, let's play that again. And then when we come back, we're gonna do our loser of the week. And we're fighting over who the loser is in this story, by the way.
So many losers.
Jamie and I cannot agree on who the loser is here. So we'll do that in just a minute.
Hello, it's me. I've been chasing you for 40 minutes just to get you in, to go into your stable that I pay your fortune every month for when you'd rather crap outside. Hello, are you listening? Your temporary deafness drives me mad. When it's time to get you in, your field companion is in. I need to wash your legs and clean your sheath and then pick out your feet. There's always this mud between us, or a million flies. Hello from the other side of the field, I called a thousand times to bring you in out of the pissing down rain. But each time I call you, you piss off again. Hello from the warm and dry. time to leave this stinking field and come inside and stop this foolish game. I hope I can ride, or at least go sideways up the road and then spin and gallop home. It's no secret you're a git to ride, and you spook when nothing's there.
That was so well done. That was to Adele's Hello. It's done by a company by the name of Equidance, who produces music for musical rides for dressage. So you can get your music done. They'll do the music for you. She did a great job with that.
Gosh, that just shows you how hard Adele is to sing. I mean, I know.
And she's out in the middle of the field. I'm sure she recorded it and then did the video, but it was a good video too. It really was.
Funny.
Good job. That's fun to play. Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning, and we are brought to you today by Ovation and also our auditors. Thank you so much, auditors, for being part of the show. I got to tell you, if you're not an auditor, you are missing out. And Jamie is extremely jealous of the auditors right now.
It's not fair.
She shouldn't be jealous because, you know, portion of the auditor's money that comes in every month goes to Jamie and our other hosts here at the Horse Radio Network. But we're right now, horselovers.com has a thing where we're doing a review of a product on Stable Scoop Show every week this year, and they're providing the products for review along with the manufacturers. So they wanted the listeners and the auditors to do the reviews. So we've been posting free stuff, and we've been sending out free stuff to auditors, and they're coming on the Stable Scoop Show to do the reviews, and it's working out great.
This is not just free stuff. This is like
good stuff.
Free crap. This is like
really good.
I don't know. $100 girth or a $150 pair of full seat breeches. I mean, it's incredible, the stuff that
boots, all kinds of stuff
giving away. Yeah. It just doesn't seem fair. I
all kinds of stuff. It is really cool. If you want to become an auditor, just head over to horsesinthemorning.com. There's a banner in the middle of the page. For as little $1 a month, you can get cool free stuff too. and be part of the group. Be one of the cool kids.
You get one free thing and it pays for you being an auditor for the next 5 years.
That's right. But you got to pay attention to the auditor's room too. That's how we do all our communications with them.
Yeah.
Now, I did want to mention too that do you want to check out, if you're into Western dressage at all, when the dressage radio show comes out this week, our first monthly episode on Western dressage comes out. You'll get to meet the host. They'll be talking a little bit about the growth of the sport. We have a host coming from the English side, a host coming from the Western side. So if you're into that at all, you're going to want to take a look, listen to the show. We're excited to be adding the Western component to the dressage radio show. Also, boy, Jamie and I, we follow every news story that comes out about the horse world, and there have been at least 20 barn fires over the last 2 weeks. And I know you've noticed them too, just fire after fire after fire. So Jennifer last year put together a compilation of all of the guests that we've had on over the years talking about fire prevention in your barn. And she did a special episode. We're going to play that special episode for you tomorrow here on Horses in the Morning. Please take a listen and make sure that you're paying attention to fire safety in your barn, because boy, there's just been a lot of fires here in the last couple of weeks. So that'll be tomorrow's show for you. Thank you, Jennifer, for putting that together. All right. And I think it's time.
Let's do it.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
But they're all pathetic losers. That's the sad part. So what we're talking about is the Kentucky neglect case that is currently under investigation. Now, we have a little bit of good news that came out of it this morning, is that some of the horses were removed. What we're talking about is there's a farm that is leased by a guy named Chuck Burrell and his daughter, Maria Burrell. Well, Maria doesn't lease it. Chuck Burrell is the person that leases this piece of property. There are 40 horses that are on this property, and nobody lives there. They've been left there. They've been neglected. There are several emaciated horses, some skinny horses, some normal looking horses, and some fat horses, because now they've gone through and kind of tried to figure out who is what, and they're grading all these neglect horses on scales, and there are horses that are dying. I mean, they're like serious, serious neglect cases. These horses haven't had shoes. They haven't been trimmed. Their paddocks are dirt. There's like no food on the property. I don't know how they have been able to survive. So the person who has categorized these horses, there are 41 horses on the property. 36 of them are thoroughbreds. 11 have been categorized as emaciated and emaciated. That's bones. And another 10 as malnourished and or notably lacking condition. The 5 non-thoroughbreds look better. Shocker. The non-thoroughbreds have been able to keep their weight a little bit more. So in this heartbreaking situation of horses that are neglected and or not taken care of, they're owned potentially like the thoroughbreds. They've tracked the ownership to a girl named Maria Burrell. And if you guys remember, Maria Burrell trained a horse called Run Happy, won the Breeders' Cup Sprint last year, and was immediately fired right after it. She's suing the people that fired her. They're in court. I felt terrible for the girl. If you guys remember, I was like, that is total BS. Like, there's something going on. And I think we even said there's more to this story that we're not getting. And now potentially we know why. So she is the owner of some of these horses. Her father is the one that leases the property. Glenn, are you here? Are you listening?
Yes, I'm listening, actually.
Okay.
I know a little bit about this story, but I didn't know the whole thing. So I'm listening.
So the horses had not been seized by the authorities, and they were under order that they could not be moved. So these volunteers started coming to the house and feeding them and taking care of it. And just recently, they have been allowed, as of I think last night, they were allowed to be moved to different foster homes. Now, they can't totally give the horses away because it's a case. It's like when MASH takes horses that are emaciated until the court case is done, they can't go anywhere, which is why the relief has come, but they're not adoptable yet. So relief has come. 43 horses have been parceled out to different rescues. One of the big rescues that's taken a bunch of them is the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation at the Blackburn Correctional Center near Lexington. Do you know where that is?
Yes. Yep.
We used to live.
You saw it from our house you stayed at.
Yes. And that's right. So, and the correctional facility is the one right next to Masterson Station, right?
Right. They're all right there. They're all right there in the same spot. Yep.
So they're the ones that have taken most of them. So there's some, you know, if you guys remember, she's the one, Maria Burrell, trained Run Happy. Run Happy was the horse that was owned by Gallery Furniture, that big furniture guy. Well, the owner of the thoroughbred, the horses, is thought to be Maria. And then the dad was potentially supposed to own some of them, and it's his property. It's in his name. He was the last person to lease it. Well, they're like, does Maria Burrell own these horses? I don't know. What does she do? She tweets because she feels like people are talking about coming to take the horses and rescue them. She tweets out yesterday, nobody's coming for my horses.
She was in Florida. She wasn't even in Kentucky.
But so now basically you've just admitted that they're your horses. All the people involved in this, like Chuck Burrell, while all these people are voluntarily feeding and by the way, the police, I believe the police department is the one that's been paying for all the food that these people, volunteers, have come out. Chuck Burrell, the owner of the horses, has popped in a couple times just to check on everything, see what's going on. Not bringing any feed.
I mean,
not bringing any money.
If you saw the pictures, I mean, take Scooter and make him skinnier than when I mean,
they look like Jet when I got Jet.
Yeah,
they're terrible. And there is a GoFundMe account right now that is going to be dispersed when the horses all reach their homes.
It's not being run by Maria, is it?
God, no. I hope not. Sheesh, that'd be terrible. Start a GoFundMe.
You know, there's more to this story, too. Apparently, before they ended up in this farm in Kentucky, they had leased a number of farms and have moved from one farm to another and are always kicked out for not paying the bills. So the story is that they've left a whole bunch of unhappy landlords and unpaid bills along their path. So this is not a first time.
No, and the problem is I'm a member of all these different thoroughbred racehorse groups and all this, and I see what's going on. But by the way, the GoFundMe is already up to $20,000.
Oh, wow.
So people have donated a lot of money to help, and the funds are going to be dispersed to the different rescues that take these horses and different people. What I just read yesterday was Maria Burrell has been spotted up in Penn National Racetrack asking for free horses.
Perfect place for her, right up there.
So looking for free horses. So I again, everybody's innocent until proven guilty. How does she still have a trainer's license?
This woman.
Again, this is all just coming down, just happening, and it just seems like. I mean,
there's so many losers in this story, but the real winners here were the volunteers who went out and fed these horses to try and keep them alive who lived in the area.
Yeah.
And Pollock Report and a couple of the others who published stories that really forced the sheriff to get off his duff, too.
Their hands are so tied when all of this stuff happens. And I know it because I watch Deputy Trombi, who does all the MASH horses. Their hands are very tied. And our policy in Arizona, as far as animal abuse and rescue, is very liberal. I mean, that's like, you think you should take them, you should take them. But she still has to do the farm visit, and this visit.
They have to give them warnings and chances and...
Yeah, they give them all these chances and all these warnings before you actually take the animals. And they don't here, they don't want to take the animals. They want the person to step up and fix the problem. And, you know, a lot of times it's education, or they just don't know what's going on. They don't know how to take care of their horses. They don't know the horse is skinny. They don't pay attention to their animals. It's called neglect. But in this case, these people know. They know what the deal is. They know what's going on. They know horses, and they're allowing these things to happen. And it just frustrates me when she posts. I was giving her the benefit of the doubt, because, you know, people have deadbeat dads. Dad could be the pathetic loser. But when she tweets out, "Nobody's coming after my horses," now you're a loser.
Yeah, I think they were in this together. This was a partnership, the way it looks.
A partnership of loserness.
All right, so we're just going to give the loser moniker to everybody in this story, except for the volunteers.
Except for the volunteers.
And, you know, there was a horse, Silvercliff. This was on the Pollock Report, too. It was gelding by Silver Charm, born in 2002, and was a racehorse and things. And he ended up with the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, the Second Chance Program. That's the Blackburn Correctional Facility. Ended up getting adopted out. The first adopters didn't work out, so they ended up getting the horse back. They adopted it out again, ended up at her farm. So they're actually trying to get this particular horse back, because as part of the contract, it can't go to anybody else because of the adoption contract. So they're trying to get this particular horse back. And when you see the pictures on the Pollock Report of the horse, you know, healthy and, you know, under saddle, and then see the pictures of this horse when they found it, it was just unfreaking believable. So,
okay, how much trouble is the person that adopted the horse?
It was her.
She adopted the horse from...
I think that it ended up being her that got the horse like the second time. So there's a whole bunch... This is a long, complicated story. And you might want to go to the Pollock Report to get the full details. But geez, I mean, this whole story is a mess.
So she adopted the horse and then was probably going to go race it again.
Yeah, I mean, she has issues, obviously. But she needs to lose her license and be put out of business here. No more horses for her. I'm declaring.
You know, and
it.
This is the girl that I was so cheering for as the trainer of Run Happy. And I pulled for Run Happy. I was so
excited. And remember, I said there's more to this story. We're not seeing the other side to this story. And
I know. We figured it would come out, but it's been so quiet.
Yeah, it came out.
This
lot
part
of
came
unpaid bills along the way.
No kidding.
So now the. So I guess the horses are in a safe place. They're being fed food at this point.
They are all being fed.
Because the story I saw yesterday didn't have that in it. So this must have been really recent.
It just happened very recently that the horses, and you know, you got to give credit to like Sally Vans. Didn't you guys use Sally? They
yes,
are picking up all the horses and moving them for everybody. And I don't know if it's on their own dime or not, but you know, to go in and be of assistance, I'm sure they helped out with the cost for sure. So Sally's involved, all these people, all these different rescues and all the different Thoroughbred retirement. It's like people are going to be fighting over taking care of these horses. God bless them. It's awesome.
Well, there were a couple other bizarre stories. Speaking of racing, this is a bizarre story. So this is out of Fort Erie in Ontario. This is out of a track called Fort Erie Racetrack in Ontario, Canada. And apparently a horse broke free from its rider on the track at 5 p.m. Sunday night and ran down the track. Officials say the horse then jumped over a fence and ran over the horse trainer. Now, you get loose on the track, you jump a fence, and then run down your trainer. My guess is he doesn't like that trainer a whole lot. I'm just saying.
So he, like, found him. He's like, I'm coming for you.
I guess. I mean, geez. So the trainer is now in stable condition in the hospital. We wish him the best. But what a bizarre story. Horse gets loose on the track, jumps the fence of the track, and runs the trainer's ass over. Eesh.
I'm sure it's a very sad story, but looking at it from the outside, the irony is pretty.
I know. I know. And then there was, this has made the rounds too, along with the guy crossing the bridge, along with the 80-year-old getting a ticket for crossing the bridge without paying the toll. We have the nuzzling horse with the reporter. It was some other foreign country, and that video has been making the rounds everywhere, and I'm sure you saw it. The reporter trying to do the report on horse racing. I don't know what country it was in, but it was very funny. And the horse keeps interrupting him, playing with his hair, grabbing the microphone. It was very funny.
It's like the one where the cameraman's getting mauled.
Yeah.
You know, yes. I mean, that horse is like biting his ear and the show must go on, I guess.
It was very funny. It even reached Mashable, even had it on their website. So a couple of horse things are really making the news. I have one more to you. Well, and on a happier story, okay? So there's this football player named Brian Westbrook. And he had a big career. He was 10 years. He played for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he wanted a hobby. So he wanted to buy himself. He loves animals, and he wanted to buy a horse farm. So he said, well, I'm going to go out, and I'm going to buy a horse farm. But he knew he did it the right way. I give this guy credit, Brian. He did this the right way. He said, I'm going to buy a horse farm, but I want to learn about horses before I invest. So in his off season, he traveled to this particular farm every day for 5 months before he bought it. He cleaned the stalls. He fed the horses. He cut the grass. He wanted to know that everything that was involved in learning about horses and a horse farm before he bought it. He went ahead and bought the farm. It was 25 acres then. He now has added 50 more acres. He's now retired. I mean, this guy was a really good football player. He had 6,300 career rushing yards, 1,300 carries. He's nominated for the Hall of Fame this year.
Who doesn't know the name Brian Westbrook?
I mean, he's...
Oh, wait, me, because I don't watch football.
Exactly, so. But I mean, it's a big name. He bought it. It's now called Westbrook Horse Farm. It's in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And he made this comment at a speech recently. At the point, I made this terrible decision to buy a horse farm because I thought it was a good business decision. I got to tell you, it's not a great business decision. It's fun. It's enjoyable. Of course, if you're not going to make a lot of money doing it, you better do it out of love. And I love doing it, and I love the horses. So apparently in the 5 months he worked there, he didn't learn that he wasn't going to make any money doing this and it really wasn't going to be a good investment.
I love this quote. I absolutely love it. Now that we own it, I love doing it. I love riding the horses. I love being around the animals. But if you're solely looking at it as a business, save your money.
Save your money. He also didn't get any racehorses because he did figure that was a losing money proposition. So it's become a boarding stable. So this big time NFL player now owns a boarding stable and he loves his horses and they board horses there. And I just thought it was a cool story. And I really like the fact that he spent some time trying to figure it out before he bought it and just went out and did it. So we're going to try and get him on a show. We have our Denise now is our new guest booking person and working with us as a virtual assistant. And I sicked her on him to try and get him on the show. I think he'd be fun to talk to.
Oh, let's sick her on all sorts of people. We got we got hired employee now. Let's go.
Yes. You can now send her leads too. And since she started yesterday, I got to give Denise a shout out. We looked this morning. She's booked 3 guests already in one day. So good for her.
She know that they're supposed to be about horses?
Yes. And if you want to hear more about Denise, tune into this week's Stable Scoop. She is our listener of the week on this week's Stable Scoop. And she has a very unique distinction. She is the only listener that has this distinction. And you can find out about it on Stable Scoop this week.
Right.
I think that's it. We're done. We did a show. We're going to have the fire prevention special for you tomorrow. We're going to play that every year because we've got to reduce the number of fires that are happening. And then Jamie's going to be back on Friday. We got really bad ads. We would love to get Jennifer. Have you gotten any audio really bad ads this week?
I've gotten a few audio
really?
Ads.
Yay!
We'd love to get more.
Yay! Yeah. We
and
love
if you're
the
too
audio.
Chicken, you can just send me the copy and paste the ad. If you're too
we
chicken.
Love hearing you do it, and it also means less work for us on a Friday. So it's a win-win for everybody.
I just like to laugh at other people.
That's right. You mean with other people, isn't that what you
with,
meant?
With
other people.
Not, yeah, yes. I'm sorry.
I thought that's what you meant. Yeah,
that's what I meant. That's exactly what I meant.
Well, we're going to be back on Friday for that. Get your ads in and do your audio ads. Send them over to Jennifer. Just record them on your phone. People don't realize how easy it is. Every phone now pretty much has a record button where you can record audio like a tape recorder, and you can hit another little button and send it as a, through an email. So
that's how I do all the Ask Montys on Debbie's show. I just record them.
Oh, is that how you do them?
Yeah, I just email them on over.
They sound good, too. I mean, sounds really good. That's how we record all our interviews when we get interviews out when we're out at shows and stuff. We just use our phones. It's that simple now.
God, I wish it was that easy back in the day.
When we had to buy $1,000 recorders and microphones, and then you had to figure out how to get them off onto your computer. I know. Same thing you guys went through back in the day. So it's that simple. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on Friday morning, but stay tuned for that special tomorrow. You don't want to miss that.
Fantastic. Everybody have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld. Woohoo. It's only 104 degrees already, so.
Hey, let's remember to talk about your baby mama on Friday, too.
Whatever. You don't care about me.
We've been supposed to do it for the last five shows.
Whatever.